The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan orders his troops to confront officials that they identify as corrupt. ...100 days into the worst oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, the ruptured well is not fully capped. A Pakistani airliner crashes outside Islamabad, killing all 152 people on board.
It's 6 p.m. in Washington, D.C. and 1 a.m. in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. This is Press TV's World News.
Thanks for joining us. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan has issued a new set of counterinsurgency guidelines directing soldiers to identify and confront corrupt officials. General David Petraeus has directed U.S.-led NATO soldiers to confront the culture of impunity in Afghanistan, saying inadequate governance, corruption, and abuse of power are enemies of the Afghans, just as the Taliban are. Petraeus has acknowledged that NATO forces cannot kill or capture their way to victory. Petraeus took over a command of more than 140,000 U.S. and NATO troops in Afghanistan in July. He replaced General Stanley McChrystal, who was forced to step down over strong remarks against top White House officials. The U.S. Army is predicting more violence in Afghanistan, with the war entering a new phase.
Well, the general nominated to lead the U.S. Central Command has warned that U.S. led forces in Afghanistan are losing credibility.
Al-Qaeda and associated extremist groups.
General James Mattis has told the Senate committee that NATO forces will face months of tough fighting. Mattis is nominated to replace General David Petraeus, who is now in command of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. Mattis is the commander who led the first force of U.S. Marines into Afghanistan in 2001. He went on to lead the Marines in the 2003 invasion of Iraq. The four-star general, nicknamed the Warrior Monk, is the man who had controversially said in a 2005 interview that it is fun to kill people.
Actually, it's a lot of fun to fight them, you know. It's a hell of a hoot. It's fun to shoot some people, I'll be right up with you. I like brawling.
In his Tuesday Senate address, Mattis stressed that President Barack Obama's July 2011 deadline to start withdrawing troops from Afghanistan is only the start of a process. Many see the remarks as a sign that Washington's policy toward the unpopular war is not changing, a point that the top U.S. military officer has clearly stated. Admiral Mike Mullen says there would be no change in the Afghan war strategy, which analysts believe has already failed.
Because the military knows that the president is obsessed with his reelection and will insist on beginning a drawdown of troops in 2011. The sense is that the clock is running out on the entire strategy and that the counterinsurgency approach has failed.
This comes despite the recent leak of classified reports about the U.S.'s untold killing of Afghan civilians. The documents released by whistleblower website WikiLeaks contain information that could amount to war crimes in Afghanistan. However, U.S. military officials have tried to downplay the impact of the massive leak. Washington says the reports do not reveal anything new about the nature of the war. Almost 9 years after the U.S.-led invasion of Afghanistan, the war is escalating following a surge of U.S. troops ordered into the country by President Obama. Now the question is, will more troops and funds help change the course of the war?
The U.S. has run out of the capacity to carry out long wars at great distances overseas with hundreds of thousands of troops and an equal number of well-paid contractors. It's just reached the end of the line, and I think it's time for the U.S. to come up with a viable exit strategy and come home.
Two Italian soldiers have been killed in a bomb attack in the west of Afghanistan. NATO-led ISAF forces said in a statement that the two were killed by an improvised explosive device. However, the statement did not give the exact location of the attack. Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi and Defense Ministry confirmed the deaths, saying the two soldiers were bomb disposal experts. With the latest deaths, 26 Italian soldiers or diplomats have died in Afghanistan since 2004. Italy has nearly 3,500 troops in the war-torn country under the ISAF command.
Meanwhile, a German reconnaissance plane has crashed in northern Afghanistan. The aircraft reportedly went down in Khalilzad district in confirmed the incident and say the remains of the plane have not been found yet. Meanwhile, the Taliban claim they've destroyed the plane and are holding its wreckage. This is the fourth German plane to go down in Afghanistan this year.
Well, oil giants, BP says it may not be able to permanently plug the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico until Monday. This is America's worst environmental disaster, enters day 100. The company's incoming chief executive, Bob Dudley, says BP will have to stay involved with cleanup efforts in the Gulf long after the leaking well is sealed. This as U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder says the investigation into the initial cause and the aftermath of the spill is ongoing. Holder added that there will be a criminal inquiry as well as a civil investigation. Meanwhile, speculation is growing over the assets BP might sell to cover its mounting expenses. The oil company also faces a number of private lawsuits and claims for compensation from the spill that damaged fishing areas and tourist sites. 11 workers died when the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded and sank back in April.
Well, U.S. President Barack Obama's approval ratings have been taking a beating lately. And as Press TV's Colin Campbell now reports, analysts may not have to look any further than the condition of the economy to understand why.
It's been easy for citizens like Anthony Wilkerson, who's been laid off since the beginning of the year.
It's hard, man, you know, because the opportunities just ain't out there no more.
Despite a determined attitude, Anthony says he feels like his concerns of finding a job are being overlooked.
It's going to take a while to flip this thing around. You know, everything is messed up, man. You got the war going on. You got the oil thing going on. You know, all this money, man, everybody went broke. All these banks and everything went broke like a year or two ago.
He's not alone. Americans' confidence in the economy faded further in July, according to a monthly survey, amid growing job concerns and subpar wages.
12 or 13 people and they take one. This is a problem, man.
There have been rare exceptions. Companies such as chemical company DuPont and equipment maker Caterpillar seem to buck the trend as they have encouraging earnings reports. Experts say it's because the signs they're ready to hire, leaving many to rely on unemployment benefits. President Obama passed through the state of New Jersey to champion his administration's commitment to boost small business and spur the economy.
That's why I'm urging the Senate to approve a jobs bill that will do two big things for small businesses: cut taxes and make more loans available.
A fervent sales pitch, but a hard sell.
Retailers had an optimistic start at the beginning of the year, but business has been crawling since April. With unemployment hovering at about 10%, consumers are expected to be spending shy through the back-to-school and Christmas shopping seasons, some of the biggest shopping days of the year. Bad news for the economy through next year. For Press TV, Colin Campbell, Washington.
A passenger plane has crashed into the Margalla Hill near the Pakistani capital of Islamabad, killing all people on board.
Rescue operators have recovered presumably 120 dead bodies. We are expecting that tomorrow at some point of time the operation would be completed. Pakistan's disaster management cell has reported that it is difficult for the rescue operators to finish the job today, primarily because of weather conditions and also at the same time because of the difficulties in the train. Black box has luckily been found. That is what Pakistan's local media has reported, and that is the treasure to determine as to what happened to this plane.
Conflicting reports say some 152 passengers were on board the private AirBlue flight. Reports say four Americans are among the victims. The Airbus A321 was flying from Turkey to Islamabad. Pakistan has declared a day of national mourning.
Well, Saudi Arabia's King Abdullah has kicked off a regional tour with a focus on easing the recent tensions in Lebanon. He arrived in Egypt on Wednesday as part of his tour that also takes him to Jordan, Syria, and Lebanon. The Saudi monarch will head to the Syrian capital, Damascus, on Thursday for talks with President Bashar al-Assad. The two leaders will finally land in Lebanon on Friday for talks with the country's politicians. The visits are reportedly aimed at consolidating regional powers amid fears of a new conflict in Lebanon. This as a United Nations tribunal probing the murder of former Lebanese Premier Rafiq Hariri is set to announce its final ruling by the end of the year. Well, for more on the Saudi King's Middle East tour, we're now joined by Ali Al-Ahmed, who's director of the IGA, who's joining us via satellite from Washington. Mr. Al-Ahmed, as always, thank you very much for joining our broadcast. Now, according to a Saudi minister, King Abdullah knows, quote, the problems facing the Arab world. He embarked on this visit to discuss ways to strengthen inter-Arab relations and achieve Arab unity, end quote. Is that the whole truth, and will it be a successful visit, do you think?
Well, I think the kingdom is trying to consolidate its allies in the region and trying to organize the region for its own interests. Regarding Arab unity, I don't think this is a Saudi policy at all, because we've seen that just a few months ago, six months ago, we saw what happened with Yemen, and that was not an issue of unity there, whether Saudi Arabia bombed northern Yemen and did more damage than Israel did to Gaza. So, and in terms of casualty and the amount of weapons and bombs used. So this is not an issue of unity. This is an issue of the Saudi government wish to bring Syria and try to convince Syria to join the pro-American bloc in the Middle East, namely Egypt, Jordan, and some other Gulf states. So this is a part of the overall effort on the Saudi government with the United States to push against Iran and its allies in the region, and maybe try to prepare for some kind of a military action against Iran. I don't think it will come to that, but this is what the Saudi are hoping to do, is to isolate Iran through putting pressure on Syria and Lebanon.
Right. Now, sir, King Abdullah is to speak of the peace process, quote, to establish a just and comprehensive peace, ensuring the legitimate rights of the Palestinians, end quote. Such things have been said for years by the region's leaders. I mean, is the outcome expected to be any different this time around?
I don't think a different outcome will happen. And let us remember in 2009 when the Gaza attack occurred, Saudi Arabia was in support of the Israeli attack on Gaza, and they were not totally against it. And we see that this policy continues to happen. Saudi Arabia wants Israel to it is using Israel to pressure other Palestinians that Saudi Arabia doesn't like Hamas and other Palestinian groups. So no, Saudi Arabia is on the side of Israel, and you probably heard about the story of the Israeli chief of Mossad visiting Saudi Arabia in secret, and that is not the first time that the Saudis and Israelis have met. So there is some kind of coordination between the two sides.
I'd like to stay with what you just mentioned. There is word of Saudi agreeing to allow access to Israeli planes if Israel were to attack Iran, and as you just mentioned, the Mossad chief visiting Saudi Arabia for talks. How probable is it that their relationship is growing and that King Abdullah's Arab Unity Tour was more about that than anything else?
It was about that, for sure. The Saudi government has always, for the past 50 years, put in mind the relationship with Israel. It was not really a completely a hostile relation. It was a relation of convenience. And in the past 20 years or so, they have had cooperation, contacts. For example, we know that the former Saudi ambassador to Washington had open line with the Israeli government and had secret meetings and communications, not only in the past few years, but that dates back 20 years ago. So we have that relationship of convenience, I would call it, because you see that Saudi Arabia has not contributed to any effort that is against Israel in terms of military attack, for example. They have always avoided that, where you see them very active in Yemen, in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, and other countries. You don't see them in in doing anything militarily against Israel because of that relationship, special relationship that is private, but it has been highlighted by the meeting between King Abdullah and Shimon Peres, the Israeli president, in 2008 in New York. So this is something that has been done on the highest level of both governments.
Mr. Ali Lahmad, director of the IGA, thank you very much for your insight.
It's about a quarter to 3 a.m. in Tehran. Let's give you a reminder of this hour's top stories. The top U.S. commander in Afghanistan orders his troops to confront officials that they identify as corrupt. 100 days into the worst oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, the ruptured well is far from being kept. Pakistani airliner crashes outside Islamabad, killing all 152 people on board.
And still ahead here on Press TV's World News, a Knesset member urges Europe to downgrade ties with Israel. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad says sanctions cannot harm the Islamic Republic.
Mr. Ahmadinejad reiterated that the Iranians are moving forward to further develop their country.
خب دیدیم و می‌بینیم که امروز به فضل الهی کارها به دست متخصصین ایرانی در حال انجام. پروژه‌های بزرگ، پروژه‌های پیچیده با فناوری‌های بالا هم داره طراحی میشه، هم اجرا میشه و هم راهبری و بهره‌برداری میشه. معنای این یک جهش توانایی و توانستن در عرصه صنعت و به خصوص صنعت نفت و صنعت پتروشیمی است.
Iran's president said colonialists, including the United States, are no more able to threaten independent and free nations as they are moving toward progress. Ahmadinejad made the remarks during an inauguration ceremony of two major petrochemical projects in southern Iran.
A Palestinian member of Knesset has urged European leaders to downgrade ties with Tel Aviv. Hanin Zoubi says Israel can only act with impunity if it has Western diplomatic, military and economic support. Zoubi was punished by the Israeli parliament for taking part in the Gaza aid flotilla mission.
Palestinian Knesset member Hanin Zoubi can be seen here being heckled by members of the Israeli parliament. She'd just returned to Israel after taking part in the Gaza aid flotilla, which was brutally attacked by Israeli soldiers. She was labeled a traitor, she received death threats, and her parliamentary privileges were taken away. Zoubi says she took part in the Gaza aid flotilla because no one with a conscience can support the siege of Gaza. And she says her treatment upon her return to Israel proves that it is not democratic. Zoubi is now urging British and European leaders to downgrade ties with Tel Aviv or else stand accused of collaborating with Israeli crimes. On July the 13th, the Knesset stripped Zoubi of her diplomatic passport, her entitlement to financial assistance, and the right to visit countries with which Israel does not have diplomatic relations. Nevertheless, she says she'll return to the Knesset to continue her struggle. Roshan Mohammed Saleh, Press TV, London.
AllTheWs.PressTV.ir is our web address. Please visit it throughout the day.
Football lovers, stay with us. Next, Champions League news coming your way in Sports International.